Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see you. I hope you all had wonderful Thanksgivings. We're going to look into God's Word together, and during these four Sundays leading up to Christmas that we call Advent, we're going to be asking God to help us open the door of our heart to His plans. We're asking God to help us open our heart's door to what God has in store for us. And we're going to be looking at some of the different characters. Today we're going to be looking at Mary and some of the others to come. But I want you to think about how what God did then could help us say yes to Him now in a deeper, more profound way. Would you pray with me? Lord, we ask that as we open your word, that you would open our hearts, that you would, by the power of your Spirit, move inside of us, that you would cause our spirits to be in harmony with you, to be in sync with you. We pray that you would bring illumination of your text, your word, so that we might understand it better, we might apply it, that we might truly live lives of faith in you and lives of obedience to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I invite you to look in your scriptures to the book of Luke. We're going to be looking at the account of Mary's encounter with the angel who came and brought her this amazing message. And I want you to think about the message. I want you to think about the response that Mary had to that message. Luke chapter 1. Verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." I want to pause there and have you think with me how that message began. Of course, it ends there with the angel saying that you're going to have a child. But before we get there, before we get to that amazing change of plans, think about what the angel said in terms of a greeting. And as you hear this greeting, I challenge you to think about how God would speak to you if suddenly he sent one of his ambassadors, one of his messengers, and that messenger was standing before you, startling you, perhaps, interrupting your plans, perhaps. But what message would the messenger of God bring? In this case, that angel says, "Greetings, of course, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And then the second phrase he mentions, "Do not be afraid, you have found favor with God." First of all, highly favored and favored with God. The same word, the same idea. Mary has found favor with God. Other translations translate it, "You are loved by God. God is glad you are His. You are in a special relationship with God." The angel says to her, "You're favored." Now think about what we know about Mary before this event. Nothing. We know absolutely nothing. The very first encounter we have with Mary is an angel speaking to her and telling her, "You're favored by God." What did she accomplish so far? Nothing. What has she done so far to earn favor? Nothing. The angel shows up and says, "God loves you." And as we move into this Advent season, as we think about Christ coming in the past, Christ coming again in the future someday, and Christ coming presently to each one of us to live inside of us, we want to be thinking about how God sees us. Why would Jesus choose to come to us? Why would God humble himself and come and live amongst us, take on flesh and live a life of sacrifice, dying for us? Why would he do that? It's because God, the initiator, comes to you and says, "I care about you. I love you. You have my favor." The word favor is, of course, the root of the word favorite. You ever think about your God's favorite? You can elbow your spouse if you want to and say, I'm God's favorite, not you. But the reality is that each one of us is God's favorite. Each one of us is highly prized by God. And Jesus chose to give up the grandeur of heaven to come and live amongst us because he cares about you. Because he wants you to experience a relationship with him. And so as we move into this Advent season, as you think about Christmas around the corner, let's see if we could be people who open the door of our heart to him in a new and profound way, inviting his love to sink in deeper than ever before. Now, the reality is that for many people, Christmas is a time of sorrow. There's all the Christmas specials on TV. There's the music playing and decorations in stores. There's the cards that we'll be receiving and all these different messages, special songs we sing. All these things that are supposed to make the season so wonderful, but the reality is that there's a lot of heartache and a lot of pain that people experience during these times when it's supposed to be a time of family togetherness, and my family is dysfunctional, and my family had hurt and pain, and my father was not there for me, and my mother abandoned us, and my sister's estranged, and my daughter's walked away from the faith. All these things that can well up during this time of year when we're supposed to be having the greatest family time in the world. Maybe our expectations have been misplaced. And maybe instead of it being a time of families having everything going perfectly, storybook fashion, maybe it's really a time of us saying, in the heartache and pain of life, in the mundane and the everyday of life, we want to be people who are opening the doors of our hearts to Jesus Christ in a profound and deeper way. I appreciate Bernard and Dorothy and Mia helping make that this week. May it be an image inside of your mind as you think about our text and how to respond to God. Could you let your heart's door swing open this season? Could you say, God, I invite you to come on in a more profound and real way? See, the angel shows up and says, Mary, you're loved by God. You are special before God. Once he said that, Mary's a little startled by it. She's not used to be saying, hey, God loves you, you're special, you're my favorite. Once she starts wondering about that, he says to her, I've got a mission to tell you about. You've been selected by God to do something really special. Now, we all know what that mission is. You'll be with child, give birth to a son. You'll give him the name of Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. The king is going to be your child. The one who rules everything is going to be born from your very body. You're going to become pregnant and give birth to the king of the universe. Now, I appreciate the honesty of Scripture. If you had an announcement that there's going to be a king in your family, that the one who created everything is now going to be brought into our world in a profound and unique way to live amongst us, if you're told that the one who's going to rule over the throne of David is now going to be your son, how would you respond? Well, maybe if you were a teenage girl, you'd say, how could I get pregnant? I've never been with a man. Not who is this king, and how could this king be entering our world, and how could he come as a child, and not all those deep theological questions, but the practical thing that a teenage girl might think about. Me, pregnant? No way! You know, I wonder if times we try to get too deeply theological. I wonder if times we get caught up in some of the what-ifs and the how-tos and maybe God is just wanting to say, hey, I'm going to do something special. What do you think about it? Any idea how it's going to happen? And I want you to realize how okay with the question the angel is. earlier, we see Zechariah having questions and doubts when an angel shows up to him, and he's punished without being made so he can't speak for a while. But Mary receives no punishment. Mary receives no reprimand. Mary simply receives an honest answer to her honest question. How's this going to happen? And the message is that the Holy Spirit's going to be the one that causes a conception to occur deep inside of your body. The Holy Spirit is the seed that enables the egg to birth forth into life, so that there's no seed of a human man involved, but rather God and an egg together create the combination of God-man that we learn about. We've been talking about this in our confirmation class, that God is, or Jesus is, fully God and fully man. Now, we have to be careful that we don't, you know, elbow our husbands at this point, but no sin was transmitted to Jesus because there was no seed of the man, just egg of the woman. God in his sovereignty figured out a way for him to take on flesh and live amongst us so that he could experience everything of the human experience, so he could experience every aspect of what it means to live on this planet, so he could fully sympathize with everything we've gone through. Why did he do it? Here are these verses from the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul gives explanation in Galatians 4:4 when he says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." See, in the right time, in the fullness of time, God entered our humanity to redeem us. He had to be born under the law to rescue us from the law and to fulfill the law, so that we now might be filled up with the Holy Spirit, enabling us to fulfill the law ourselves as we live it out in obedience to Christ. Think about what it means that God chose Mary. See, God chooses ordinary people. Mary was not of some kind of noble lineage. She had a very common name. She came from a town of that was not special in any way. In fact, the town was criticized. If you remember when Nathanael heard about Jesus coming from Nazareth, Nathanael's response was, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Mary was ordinary. And it's ordinary people that God chooses to use. God chooses to use the regular, the common folk. God chooses to use people like you and people like me. And as you think about God coming into our lives, as you think about opening up the doors of our hearts to him this season, might it be that at times you've said, "Well, not me. There's nothing special about me. Why would God ever choose to use me?" And maybe the response ought to be that because there's nothing special about me, God wants to use me. Let me invite you to breathe a little prayer right now. God, I'm ordinary, but go ahead and use me. And let's see what God does this season as you invite him to work inside you. Second thing I want you to notice as Mary hears this message is that God's plans take precedence over our plans. Mary was a teenage girl, betrothed to be married. If, like most girls, she was in that arrangement, she'd probably be thinking about that a lot, planning her wedding, planning what it was going to be like after the wedding, getting ready for it, preparing, thinking about what it would be like to be a wife and someday a mom. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up and says, "I've got a change of plans for you, Mary. Your reputation's going to be destroyed. You're going to have to leave your hometown and go down to Bethlehem for a couple years. And after that, and after we find out about Herod trying to kill all the babies, you're going to have to flee to Egypt for a few years. You're going to leave home and mom and dad and family and anything that's known to you, and you're going to be on a journey to unknown places, to strange places, to a foreign nation. You're going to, in a sense, be on the run. And when you come back, people are going to still be whispering, oh yeah, that's that young couple that had a baby before they should have. God's plans took precedence over Mary's plans. And God's plans take precedence over your plans. Now, if you're like me, you like to plan and think about what your life's going to be like. You like to map things out and say, this is going to happen, then that'll happen, and then we'll do this. But the reality is, we don't know what the future holds. And if we did, we'd probably be scared and unable to face it. But God in his sovereignty only reveals a little bit at a time. And the fact of the matter is that so often what he reveals is not at all what we wanted it to be like. God has changes in store for most of us. God has disruptions in store for most of us. I never thought I'd be living back in my home area. I never imagined I'd be where it gets to be 17 below on Sunday nights, even before you get to December. I was thinking the Sunshine State sounded pretty good. And God allows things to so drastically change. And you wonder, why does he do it? Why does he allow things to in our minds, unravel, wheels to come off? Why does he allow things to go awry? Might it be that God knows what it will take to best grab a hold of us, to open us up to some new truths, to make us willing to open the doors of our hearts to him in some way that we never would have if he hadn't done something shocking and changing to our plans? I was so saddened to hear this morning that Nancy Tolleson did not get to have Thanksgiving at home with her family. After weeks of being at the villa and recovering from her accident, she gets the flu this week. And you wonder, why, God? Why? But we trust a God who says to us, you are favored and I am with you. You are loved and I am present. I care about the details of your life. And the things that you hadn't expected and the drastic turns and changes, they can be all used for my glory in your life. I invite you to take a second look at those disruptions and those changes that God allowed. And say with an attitude of gratitude as we go through this Thanksgiving season that I'm choosing to thank you for those things. They were unexpected, maybe unwanted, but God says I can use them to make you more like me and bring you into a deeper relationship with me. And that's our third point here. God's plans are accompanied by a sense of his presence. The angel says, God is with you. God is with you. God isn't distant. God isn't unaware. God isn't ignoring. God is with you in the midst of whatever it is you're going through. He's with you in the changes. He's with you in the good. He's with you in the bad. He is present with you. Never to leave you. Never to forsake you. Never to leave you to slog your way through it on your own. God is present. And because God is present, we can trust him. As we're going through something that seems to be deep, miry, and muddy clay, we can say, but at least I've got the hand of Jesus steadying me as I work my way through that muck and mire. The unexpected might catch us off guard, but it doesn't catch him off guard. His hand is there. His hand is steady. We grasp it. We cling to him in the midst of the things that come into our lives. And so because of that, we can open the door of our heart to him and say, your will be done. Fourthly, I want you to see that God-sized plans oftentimes leave us with God-sized questions. Mary said, how's this going to happen? I don't understand. And God provides just enough of an answer, just enough of an answer to enable her to say, okay. And if you have something unexplained, something catching you off guard, it's okay for you to say, God, what's going on? How are you going to get me through this one? What's your plan in the midst of this? How are you going to redeem this situation? It's okay to ask God those questions. But let me encourage you to ask with an attitude of faith, and an attitude of dependence, and an attitude of recognition that He is there with you, recognizing that it's okay to have questions. It's okay to then step out in faith with not every single question answered. In fact, I don't know that He's ever answered every single question. I think He's always left a few unanswered ones so that you could have enough to go on to take that next step, but not enough information to know what was beyond the farthest corner yet. Because God is inviting you to trust Him moment by moment and step by step. And then, fifthly, I want you to see that God's plans need to be acted upon. How did Mary respond? I am the Lord's handservant, maidservant. May it be to me as you have said. Let me encourage you to practice those words. God, may it be to me as you have said. God, may your will come about in my life. God, your will, not my will, be done. Your kingdom come. I don't understand what it is sometimes, but Lord, I'm saying yes to you. I'm humbly saying yes. Do we have that picture of Mary? I asked for a picture of Mary. I did just a Google search on pictures of Mary, and there are thousands of pictures of Mary, the mother of Jesus. This was my favorite of the ones I looked through, because there's a calmness in the midst of the startledness. It's kind of a Semitic-looking look to her. Certainly she's caught off guard and surprised, as so often we are when God does something we weren't expecting. But yet, at the same time, there's a gentle acceptance. See, Mary's been honored for about 2,000 years already. Her saying yes to the angel's message has enabled us to say, there's an example for us to follow. When God shows up, sends us a message, when it's unexpected and catches us off guard, we can, like Mary, gently say, okay, God, okay. We can open the door of our heart to Him and say, whatever this thing is you've got in store for me, I choose to say yes to you. I choose to cooperate. You know, as you look through Scripture, isn't that happening all the time? Abraham hears a message from God and leaves the known area of the world he was at and travels to the promised land. Moses is given an assignment that he hadn't expected to go back and speak to Pharaoh and bring the people out of captivity. Esther is told she must go before the king and seek to rescue her own people from the destruction that was being foisted upon them. Hosea is told to go and marry a prostitute. Paul is interrupted on his journey, and all of a sudden he's launched onto his missionary journey, and then at the end he says, go to Jerusalem, where trouble awaits, where imprisonment awaits, where beating awaits. Throughout Scripture, we see person after person being surprised by a message from God and being invited to say yes, invited to open the door of their heart. Would you do that this Advent season? Would you open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us, because we do tend to be control freaks. We do want to have everything laid out nice and neat and have these long-range plans. But Lord, in your sovereignty, you so often bring turns and changes and the unexpected. We confess at times when this happens, Lord, we get upset. We just want to be honest, Lord. We get upset when you do that to us. And we're sorry about that. We know that you have our good in mind. We know that you really do love us and you are with us. And so would you help us be less upset and more trusting? Thank you for this little girl. Thank you for Mary's example. Lord, may we be more like her and able to say, may it be to me as you have said. May your will be accomplished in my life. Help us to trust you. And help us to have a sense of joy at what awaits. We pray in Christ's name, amen. Now think about what comes next in Mary's life. The disruption, yes. But she had the first seat experience of watching the Lord Jesus Christ grow, develop, launch into ministry. I've focused on the disruption, but can we also say that when God chooses to call us and invite us to participate with him in some grand adventure, there's joy in the midst of that. There's joy in being able to be right with God in what he is doing. And I believe that as you open the door of your heart to him this season, joy is going to come rushing in.